If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the beginning, chapter 28, Genesis, for those of you that didn't catch it. Hey. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of this place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in a place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached the heavens. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it thee into thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us, Lord, and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I hope you ain't lonely. Amen. Students of human behavior have observed that loneliness is the number one plague facing America. And it's not just true for mankind and mankind at large all over the world. One writer said this, the pain of loneliness is universal. Loneliness, far above being a rare and curious phenomenon, is essential and inevitable the fact of human existence. When we examine the moment, acts, and statements of people, not only the grief ecstasy and the other great things of the poets, the huge unhappiness, the average soul, the evidence of the innumerable words we hear from the people we pass as we walk down the street, we begin to realize there are a lot of people in this world that their main cause and their bottom complaint is they're lonely. A sense of loneliness has permeated literature, music, and drama through the years. Songs have been all over the place telling us about loneliness. I mean, y'all have heard them. Alone again, naturally. Only the lonely. Bluer than blue, sadder than sad. Feelings. Hello? We've even had one guy you picked a fine dime to leave me, Lucille. These are things that's written about that. We've seen movies like, you know, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. There's an old movie classic called Death of a Salesman. It's about a guy that was totally lonely and is completely separated and isolated from everybody. Therefore, because of where we are, it's no surprise that loneliness appears early in the Word of God. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? It was God, the Creator, who decided Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Oh. Many theologians claim that God created mankind for one reason. He wanted a being in this world to have fellowship with who would love him, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Amen. And church, we're the only creatures that have that choice. You know, I got tickled. God was talking about the drought of fishes, and he said, man, if they ain't caught fish all night, why'd they catch them then? Man, they come up to the seashore to see the Creator. They just happened to get too close. Glory. Hello? Smile. Other animals worship God in their own way, but just because they have to, because he's the Creator. But we worship God because we love him, and we have to do so. And we need to understand that this is one of the things God wanted us to understand. Loneliness is a thing that man doesn't need. Amen. Young Jacob was haunted by the same feeling of being cut off, estranged, isolated, barren, and alone. Genesis chapter 28 exists in a state of loneliness, for this was the first time he had ever been away from home. Glory. Hello? I mean, he's used to a nice, comfortable bed, probably some pretty nice sheets because he'd come from a pretty good family. They had a lot of stuff. He probably was used to mama tucking him in. Come on, church. This guy loved home life. And all of a sudden, he finds himself having to leave everything he had behind. And he runs to this place. And he gets there, and it starts to turn dark. All of a sudden, life isn't so good anymore. Hello? He finds him a place to sleep. Has to take some rocks to make a pillow. I don't know if y'all have ever done that, Bob. But it ain't the best thing in the world. It's when you wish you had a pillow. And now he's laying there trying to go to sleep, and he's got a problem. Anybody? You ever remember if you ever been camping the first time you ever went camping? And you're laying out there, and everything that moves, you wonder what it is? Hello? You hear an owl screech and you know. Amen. One of the things they do if you're a Boy Scout, if you're going for Eagle Scout, you have to camp away from everybody all by yourself at least one time. My nephew that's been here, Will Payne, is actually an Eagle Scout. And on his night, he got his Indian name, Snakebite. Because he's laying there half asleep, heard something in the bush, slapped it, and a snake bit him because it was in the bush. I'm like, son, why didn't you look? He said, well, I wasn't even thinking about where I was till it bit. Glory. Amen. So when he became an Eagle Scout, his name officially for the Boy Scout is Snakebite. Pain. Glory. Amen. But the reality is, Jacob now not only is cut off from everybody in a place he don't really want to be, but now all of a sudden he's having a hard time going to sleep because every little noise is waking him up. He's looking. And then finally, weariness gets so much of him that he falls asleep. And it's when he falls asleep that God decides to visit him. Can I tell you something, friend? God doesn't care your surroundings. He don't care where you are. When he decides to visit you, he's coming to see you. He doesn't care where you are, what's going on in your life. He doesn't care what's been happening with you lately. All he knows is he's ready to have an encounter with you, and those are very special times in your life. Could you say amen? You see, lonely people include executives trying to make it to the top, and they're so busy trying to make it to the top, they don't have time for God or anybody else. Amen. Young men and women live alone for the first time, and they get lonely because they're so used to having folks in the house. Young couples that move to towns and get around people they've never met. That's why if we have somebody show up that moved in from out of town, we need to let them know you're not alone here. There are people in this town who will open up themselves to you and love you. Because if we don't, somebody else will, and they'll end up in their direction. Let me tell you something. Any of y'all remember the Unification Church? It's still wide open in America. Son Yeon-moon from Korea started that church and built it in America. He's made a multi-billion-dollar business out of what he calls a religious church. It's actually a cult. But you know what they do? They find lonely people, people that's got nobody, people that's out by themselves, and they start spending time with them, and the next thing you know, they've locked them into that cult, and they got them out selling flowers on the street corner, and they say they're bringing revival to America, but every dime that comes in, they ship it up north, and then they ship them back what they need to buy, what food they can get by with. He tells them who they can marry, when they can marry, what they can do in life. Amen. You say, preacher, what's going on? That's how most of cults operate. They find lonely people, broken people, people that are shut off and isolated from everybody else, and they lock into them. And can I tell you, God is looking for people today who will find people like that and let them know there is a God in heaven that loves you. There is a God in heaven that can change you. There is a God in heaven that can move in your life. Could you say amen? We live in the midst of loneliness, and all of us have periods of loneliness. No person's free from the feeling of loneliness, even in a crowd. You can walk through the mall past people, and they look like they lost their best friend. Most of them's Christians. Hello? Don't look at me like that. I walked in the mall one day in Tuscaloosa, and there was a guy that worked in carpenter for Frida's dad that I worked with. He at the time called himself an atheist. I come in the back door of the mall, and I said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm counting Christians. What's he doing? What? He said, I'm counting Christians. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I can tell you, everybody comes through that door if they're Christian or not. I went down to a little drugstore and got me one of them, what we called a 15-cent notepad back then. Just one little notepad fits in your pocket. I come back down there with an ink pen. I said, let's see if your theory works. Everybody that come through the door, if he went like that, they were a Christian. They weren't a Christian. I'd walk up. We were the Church of God taking a survey. Do you go to church? And everybody he did this to went to church. Everybody he did this to didn't. I was an evangelist. I'm thinking, man, if this works like this, what an impact I can have at church when I walk up to somebody and go, hey, you're not saved, and not be playing. And no, glory. I looked at him, I said, how do you know who's saved? He said, it's fine, the Christians aren't smiling. I stayed there for an hour after he left, and I never missed. Everybody come in, look like they lost their best friend, belonged to a church somewhere. Oh yeah, I'll go over there. We want to know why we can't get people in church. Could it be that they got enough trouble? They don't need to lock in with a bunch of folks that walk around looking like they've been sucking persimmons for 6 months. Amen. And we walk around like we lost our best friend. We get up to testify. Oh, it's just getting harder and harder and harder. And my life's falling apart. And you got some guy in the back having trouble. The last thing he needs is more trouble. They need to hear about a God who can put joy in your heart, a spring in your heel, and some peace in your soul. And we need to understand the world's looking for that. And we are the ones that should be the purveyors of it. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Today I want to present to you some secrets that will help you enable you to deal with loneliness, overcome it, and live beyond it. Amen. We're notorious for dealing with the fruits of a problem without ever getting to the root of the problem. I mean, we get a cold, we'll treat the symptoms. I got a runny nose, my ears are hurting, and we'll take something for that, and then we'll keep the cold for 6 weeks. Glory. Hello. Glory. Reasons for loneliness. Genesis chapter 28, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones for the place and put them in a pillow and laid down in the place to sleep. Why is his loneliness set in? The difference in loneliness and being alone is not the same thing. I know a lot of people that are alone that ain't lonely. But I know people that's in a crowd that still just don't connect to anybody. You ever been around people like that? They just wall themselves off and they insulate themselves from everybody. They won't let nobody get close to them. Amen. Because they've been hurt in the past or something happened to them that caused them to be in that direction. And because of that, they're crippled spiritually and they don't want to get around people because, well, I let that person get close and they done me wrong. I got news for you. Folks are going to do you wrong. Amen. But you can't just close the door between you and everybody else and act like you're an island somewhere that don't need anybody, because none of us can exist without fellowship. None of us can make it without somebody that we can call a friend. Glory. Come on, church. Many who are alone are not really lonely. But why was Jacob lonely? Esau's in hot pursuit of him. Hello? Y'all heard the story. Esau's the elder brother. By Jewish tradition, he's got the birthright coming to him. But you know, the difference between Esau and Jacob is like night and day. Esau didn't have a problem with going out and laying around in the woods. He did it all the time. He's a hunter and fisher. He stayed outside all the time. He hardly ever came home. Jacob, on the other hand, was a mama's boy. Some of y'all looking at me like, well, preacher, read your Bible. Dude was 67 years old before he had his first date. I don't know about Alabaster and Buell. That's a mama boy. Lord. Hello? He hung around mama. She taught him how to cook, taught him how to sew. You said, now, preacher, show me the scripture. I can tell you this. He took material from different places in the world, sewed it into a coat that so many of the sons and different ones were jealous of the boy he gave it to, so he must have been a pretty good seamstress. You don't have to read some things. You can just surmise by what happened. But he hung around Mama, and let's face it, Mama taught him how to cook pretty good, because when he got ready to give Dad venison, she helped him fix up a good bowl of venison. And let's face it, ain't no boy, no matter how good he hunts, can outcook Mama. Mama helped him deceive his daddy to thinking he was Esau, and he gave the birthright to him. Now, I'm going to tell you why God didn't hold it against him, because Esau really didn't want the birthright. He gave it to him for a bowl of peas a few chapters earlier. Hello? But it didn't change the fact that Jacob was a supplanter, a deceiver, a conniving schemer, glory, who done everybody in every time he got a chance. If you ever notice you keep doing people wrong, after a while, folks will leave you alone. Hello? We had a guy in Buell one time. I say one time, he lived there all of his life. But my dad told me one time, he said, you can always tell when he's going to lie. I said, how's that? And he said, well, if he's telling the truth, he puts his finger on the side of his nose. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, man, that's needful to know. He said, if he's telling the half-truth, he'll pull his ear. That's why you know he's lying. He said, his mouth's moving. I thought I'd get needful information. Of course, the truth of the matter was, if you talk to the dude, most of the time you realize if his mouth was moving, there wasn't a whole lot of truth in anything he said. Glory. Hello? I ain't calling nobody's name, so you can't run down to Buell and get me in trouble. Glory. But he's kin to you. Glory. Glory. Smile, everybody. Amen. He probably knows who it is. Glory. Did you know the truth of the matter is, that's the way it works. Here was Jacob now. He stole the birthright. Esau then starts after his brother to take him out. He wants to get him. Now Jacob's running for his life. Now because of what he's done, he is now lonely, because he no longer has contact with Mom or Dad. He can't even have contact with his twin brother. I mean, he's messed himself up. Hello? And for some people's loneliness is what they've done in the past. Hello? The world is full of sociopaths, psychopaths, people who never accept the blame for what they've done. It's always somebody else's fault. Hello? You're broke. Well, I'm broke because those people made me pay my bills and I ain't got money left over. What did you made the bills? Hello? I can't ever get ahead. Could it be that you ain't never tried? Hello? Some of us are our own worst enemies in things we're trying to do, because we won't do anything about it, yet it's everybody else's fault. Feel sorry for me because it's somebody else made me do it. Hello? And you ever notice Jacob was probably just like that? He probably figured it was Esau's fault because he sold me that thing for a bowl of peas. Now he's mad. He won't back out on the deal. And the truth of the matter was, that's the way it was. He's forgetting about the fact that he got his daddy to give him the birthright by lying and conniving and scheming. That's the way he's done everything so far. And he finds himself alone. Amen. All of us have a streak of sociopathy in us. Oh, some of y'all looked at him and said, not me. Well, you don't read the Bible. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to our own way. Hello? Every time we're in trouble, we figure we got it made. We know what we can do. Sometimes we ain't got a clue. Hello? Come on, church. I'm the world's worst at figuring I can fix it. I'm pretty good at some things. But as sometimes I start stuff I shouldn't have never started. Right after I came here, I went to Buell one night. Air conditioner wasn't working. I went out there to fix it. Just thank God that there was a thing burned out, because I grabbed something that had 220 volts going through it, and if that thing had made one more bar before it stopped and burned out, it would have fried me like Kentucky Colonel's Best. Glory. I'm sitting there holding it, thinking of nothing to it. The guy comes out the next day. He said, you took this out? I said, yeah. He said, watch this. He stuck something to it, and it cut a screwdriver in two. He said, that could have been you. I went, And I was in the dark, too. I would have seen the light. It would have been me lighting up. Glory. Hello? Of course, y'all never done nothing like that. Lord. But if I'd have got killed, probably my last breath, I'd have blamed it on the electrician that wired it up the way he did. Smile. Amen. We all have an Esau to blame our predicaments on. The habit of passing the buck started in the Garden of Eden. God said, well, what's wrong? Eve made me eat the fruit. He said, what me? It was that dumb serpent talked me into it. Glory. Poor serpent didn't have nobody to blame. Hello? The truth of the matter was, the serpent didn't have nothing to do with what they did. They did it themselves, and it was their fault. They should have took. Oh, come on, church. It's always easy to pass the buck, especially the person you pass it to ain't there to keep from getting it. Glory. How many of you remember when you was in school and you got in trouble? It was always somebody else's fault. My problem was I was the one that kept getting blamed. I couldn't pass it on. I'd go, so-and-so, well, we know better, go to office. Glory. I was at the oncology center Thursday. One of the girls that works there went to school with me, and there was a young lady came out. She'd go come visit us. She remembers me from an evangelist position when I was evangelizing years ago. And we're not going to talk about how long. She just said, I remember you when I was a baby. This other girl said, I went to school with him. She said, what would you like to do? She said, he was into something every day. I was popular. I had name recognition. My name come over that intercom every day for something. Glory. And I didn't even have to do it. They just figured I knew who did if I didn't. Glory. It never was anything bad. I was just into something because I was bored to death. Glory. Come on, church. And I tried to cast off on somebody else. Somebody made me do it. Then I got the Christian version. The devil made me do it. You ever notice that you get up here to sing and they ain't practiced, they forget the words, and the devil messed them up because that's spiritual and still admitting they were wrong? Glory. I know some of y'all didn't like that, but the truth's the truth. It inevitably, sound messes up. Well, the devil's in the sound system. I've never looked back and seen the devil doing nothing in that sound system. It's always somebody from a church. Hello? But we want to pass the buck. We don't want to take credit for things we've done to ourselves. Jacob was just as bad. He was blaming it on Esau, blaming it on his daddy. It was all somebody else's fault, but it didn't matter whose fault it was. The point was, he is alone. He's by himself. He's isolated from everybody, insulated from everybody, and he has no contact with anyone. And all of a sudden, there, lying and all of his lying and all of his deceiving and all of his corruption, God says, I want to talk to you. Glory. And in his sleep, he has a vision. And all of a sudden, he sees a stairway going to heaven. Things are starting to change. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, loneliness is often associated with ingrown self-pity. You look in the mirror. Oh, look at me. No wonder nobody likes me. I remember a preacher used to be on our district. He always wanted to come talk to me for some reason. I was in my office at the house one day. I had a building outside the house. I'm in the office one day, and he come in, and he sat down, and he started in about everybody didn't like him. His birds was dying. The church was falling apart. He just poor pitiful me for about 30 minutes. He said, nobody wants to talk to me. I said, look, if you keep this up, I'm going to ask you to leave myself. Glory. I mean, I was on a high that he showed up, and he about talked me into a low with him. Come on, church, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Some of you need to realize this is where some of us have been, where some of us are. All we can see is all the negative stuff going on in our life and all the things people have done to us, and sometimes we've got to get rid of all that. Could you say amen? Dr. DeWitt Talby said he had a young man come in his office one day, and he said, Pastor, I want you to take my name off the roll. I'm not living right. I don't even believe there's a God anymore. Just take my name off. I won't have nothing else to do with it. Dr. Talmadge looked at me and said, look, I understand what you're saying. I'm going to let you do that. But said, here's what you need to do. I need you to go by and visit this man and leave this package for me. Will you do that? And if you'll do that, I'll take your name off the roll. The young man said, sure. He loads up. He goes by to see the man. He doesn't know Dr. Talmage has set him up. He's gunned him to see a man who's dying with cancer who isn't a Christian. And when he gets there, the man in his dying breath is talking to him. And he said, son, I'm dying. I don't know the Lord. Is there any way you could help me? And the boy began to pray with him. And he prayed with that old man, and seeing God move in his life, he realized there really was a God. His whole life turned around. That young man, a guy by the name of Matheson, became a great preacher of the gospel, because not only did he believe in God and leave his name on the roll, he came back in. He said, Dr. Talmage, tomorrow can I come by and you send me see somebody else? Amen. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? He learned the secret of what goes on when we have all this bound into ourselves. Could you say amen? You see, Jacob was responsible for his own loneliness, but only by staying busy for God can we overcome depression, doubt, and self-pity. When we begin to do something for God and we begin to get among people that are hurting, we begin to realize how blessed we really are, and suddenly we realize I've got nothing to feel sorry for. If I die tomorrow, I'm still a born-again child of God. I got myself paid through the power of God's blood, and I know I'm saved. Could you say amen? The primary reason for loneliness is that we shut ourselves out from others. Listen to what the poet Edwin Markham said. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic rebel, I think to flout. But love and I had a wit to win. We drew the circle that took him in. Glory. We can't accept pity and self-misery. You sit around and all you're doing is crying in your Wheaties all the time. Folk get tired of it. I'll be honest with you, church. People that don't do anything keep talking about their problems. They ain't doing nothing about their problems because they don't want to get rid of them. They just want to talk about them. They want everybody to feel sorry for them because they're wallowing in self-pity. They're as bad as a hog that gets washed and runs right back out and wallow in the mud. Glory. I'm making people real happy today. Glory. But notice this, we wouldn't react the same way that you have to situations, but God is the only one that can search our hearts. Church, I don't know how you got where you are. I can't tell you how you got there. But I can tell you the same person that got in my life when I was drowning in self-pity and a drug addict and alcoholic is the only one that's going to turn your life around. And you can sit in a church, talk about God and read about God and sing about God and never really come to know the God that can do something in your life and change you because you're so worried about the things going on in your life. Can I tell you, if God ever makes a visit to you and God ever begins to give you an encounter and God ever begins to touch your life, things are going to change. Could you say amen? Listen, there are possibilities that the loneliness is the result of circumstances out of your control. I know some of y'all wanted me to say that, but I'm going to follow it up, but it's very rare. Somebody said, what are you talking about rare? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. For he that soweth in the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Glory. This is a call, the law of the harvest. If you're lonely, you should find somebody who needs you and pour yourself into them. Come on, church. Huh? You know what I think we've got a problem in the church world? It's not just loneliness in people's lives. We've got a bunch of people that are Dead Sea Christians. There's an inflow, but there ain't no outflow. And anytime you have an inflow without an outflow, you get stagnant water. Come on, church. The Dead Sea, it's got water flowing into it. There is no outlet, and everything in that sea is dead. That's why they call it that. Now the Dead Sea's dying. Literally. When we were in Israel in 2001, there was this beautiful motel resort that was almost a half a mile from the Dead Sea because it had receded that much because it's dropping so many feet a year because of the lack of water going in now and the sun and all the other things taking the water out. But there is no outflow, so everything in it dies. There's nothing can live. The alkaline height is so great. The mineral height is so great. Everything that hits that water dies. If you get it in your eyes, it'll burn your eyes out. I mean, you dive off the bank into it, about feels like you hit concrete. Amen. And people talk, oh, but you not understand, Jesus is flowing into me. If you ain't letting it flow out, you're not getting a new flow. Come on, church. Amen. I got news for you. If you get full, God's not going to keep pouring and run you over. Amen. And we've got too many people that have become a dead reservoir, and they're sitting there with stagnant spirituality in their life, and they don't understand, if you want the life of God and the breath of God to flow in your life, you got to open up and pour in somebody else. And when you do that, life from you will get into them, and both of you then can become a power and a grace in the glory of God. Could you say amen? Paul, at his conversion, notice what he said in the 9th verse of Acts, the 6th verse of the 9th chapter. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said to them, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul, a man been killing Christians, gets converted. The first thing out of his mouth, what I need to do? Glory. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is all upset with everything going on, and all of a sudden he gets a vision of God, and the first thing out of his mouth, God said, I'm going to send somebody. He said, Lord, send me. Glory. No doubt you're going to have questions, but you got to pour yourself out. You got to give yourself to those that are in need. Come on, church. Remedy for loneliness. I'm not going to finish this sermon. Matter of fact, I only gave half of it to him. Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending, descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, my father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt be spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall the families of the earth be blessed. After Jacob went to sleep, the Lord showed him the remedy for loneliness. Jacob became aware of the Lord's perennial presence. No matter where you are, you're not alone. Because no matter what's going on in your life, God is just a word away. Everybody's had a time when we had a special visitation from the Lord. When somebody's preaching or we're reading the word and a word suddenly jumps off the page. Y'all ever had that happen? You read something you read 100 times and all of a sudden, like, whoa. Because it just kind of blows through your spirit and you realize that's not just word anymore. That's rhema. That's a divine utterance. God just spoke to me. And suddenly it becomes so real, as if you heard the voice of God. Or you have an encounter where God just interrupts your life and says, we're going to talk. Glory. Well, if you've never had an encounter with God, you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. But those of us that's lived for him very long, we understand there are times he has to put his hand in front of us and say, hey, you've gone far enough. We need to talk. And he'll pull you down and he'll have an encounter with you. And I've never walked out of an encounter with God that it didn't change my life, that it didn't make me go in a different direction. Every time I've had an encounter with God, I've left there knowing that God was still with me and God had not forsaken me. And if I just get back where I needed to be, my God was going to carry me where I needed to go. And every once in a while, we need that kind of encounter. Could you say amen? Jacob had to come to understand the prevailing presence of God would be with him no matter what was going on in his life. Christianity is not a man seeking God. You know, every religion of the world, if you study them, and I have most of them, they tell you how to get God to bless you. I mean, you beat yourself with a chain, you run stuff through your tongue, pierce your eye. Oh, I'm sorry, but that actually started in heathen nations with people trying to find a heathenistic God to bless them. Glory. If I offend you, I'm sorry, but you need to realize what you're doing. Of course, I know you want them in your ears. That's a sign of slavery. That's what the Jews did. They wore earrings in their ears to show they were slaves. Glory. I told you it's making people happy. I'm an equal opportunity offender today. Glory. But if you were a Hindu, you'd be sticking something through your tongue, beating yourself with nails, crawling on the ground, trying to get God to find favor with you. That's not what it's about. Christianity is not me finding favor with God. God's already found me. I don't go to God trying to get him to like me. God loved me so much. He sent his only begotten son that if I believe in him, I could have everlasting life. And Christianity is the only religion where God is seeking me. I'm not looking for God. He's trying to find me. In the cool of the day, he comes down wanting to walk with me, commune with me, spend time with me. And church, because of that, you need to understand that God is looking for you. And it doesn't matter how lonely you are. He's ready to open a door and put a peace in your heart that only he can give. Glory. It's an encounter with God. See, church, I believe God is that ladder. You know, when I preach, you can make supposition, but you can't prove it. John chapter 1, verse 51. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Christ himself called himself the ladder. Glory. He is the way to God. One lady wrote it this way. Marvelous grace, our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. All who are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse from within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sins. Now, I'm fixing to close just a moment, but understand that ladder reached down to where Jacob was. It's reaching down to where you are. The prevailing presence and the power of God is the remedy to your loneliness. You're lonely, then let Jesus fill the void in your heart. The weakest, vilest sinner can, through the ladder of God, climb out of the pit of degradation to the foot of the eternal throne. Stand with me all over the house.